Episode 54 of the Ferris Podcast of them all is here. Joshua Ferris back with you again this week. And not only am I back, but very special guest this week. As promised, somebody near and dear to my heart to join us in episode 54. That would be my boo, Hannah Roding. In preparation for this episode, I reached out to some friends, family, and let me tell you, we have got the hard-hitting questions to ask your significant other. So in this episode, it is going to be an action-packed, wild ride, and you're really going to find out kind of some truths of the relationship we have built. So without further ado, we are going to turn it over to the guest to let us know how excited they are for this interview.
So originally Josh drew out in his pod deck to interview their significant other. And at the time I was like, that sounds like a really great idea. That sounds like fun. But as the week has come, I've kind of second guessed why I agreed to this, but here we are and we're doing it. So Josh has some important questions that are supposed to be real deep to ask me today.
We're just going to go ahead and get started. Kind of rapid fire here, you know, depending on what the question is, it may take a little longer to get through it. But with the first question, we're going to start with, what is the first impression you had of me?
So when I first met Josh and hung out with him the first time, he was very gentlemanly and just seemed like a really authentic, nice guy to hang out with. He was easy to hang out with and could easily make me laugh and was just a person who was really easy to open up with and talk to.
You know, that's what I say. You know, originally I would say all the time growing up, people would have me, you know, try to set them up in relationships, and I never really had relationships of my own because I always told people coaches don't play. So, you know, as a coach, a gentleman, you know, try to be there for people. And if you're out there and you're not in a relationship, but you've been good at setting people up, what I would say is be yourself, stay true to yourself, and just be an open ear, because that's really how it all started. And when we talk about how it all started, everybody has their love story, whether it be conventional, unconventional, or whatever it may be. It is a story in its own. What would you say is the story of how we met?
We could honestly probably be a Tinder ad, because we actually met on Tinder and we're probably one of the few success stories of meeting on Tinder and working out. Josh opened with the girl line of, if you could be any kitchen utensil, what utensil would you be? And it seemed to work out pretty well for him. It was a pretty unique question I never heard from anybody and was more about getting to know me.
See, you got to break out all of the tricks, okay? And, you know, a magician really never reveals his secrets, but this is one secret I am willing to share. So would you say, probably like on a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you recommend somebody, a male, in the online dating scene using that to start a conversation?
I mean, I would like to say a 4, because at the time I was like, what the heck is this kid doing? What kind of question is that? I don't even know how to answer that. But honestly, it worked out pretty well for Josh. So maybe it was higher up on the scale than I thought, an 8 or 9, since it was pretty unique and not really the standard questions or opening lines you get.
There you have it. Now that right there on the Ferris Podcast of them all, that is a fair take from somebody besides myself. You know, we have that here periodically. We're going to throw it back with this question. These next two questions may or may not go together, but we're going to kind of lump them together here. You know, what were your initial dreams growing up? You know, as a teacher now, you probably have kids tell you, when I grow up, I want to be a baseball player or an astronaut. What was that thing that you had as your dream?
As a kid, I kind of went back and forth between wanting to be an author or a teacher, and sometimes I wanted to be both. I actually wrote a lot of stories growing up and would even pay my sister to type them up for me, and I illustrated them myself, and I would have little book sales, and my parents would buy my books from me that they, you know, could have gotten for free because I was their kid. But I always thought I would be an author growing up, and then it kind of changed as I got older, and I was a little more interested in something that would be more realistic and make some money, so I bounced back and forth between going into accounting or corporate law or engineering, and I kind of took those classes and realized they weren't for me and ended up actually as a senior deciding that I wanted to be a teacher.
Perfect. You already kind of answered this next question before we got into it, but was there anything that kind of inspired you to be a teacher, or could you elaborate on that specific instance when you realize I definitely am going to be a teacher?
Growing up, I was always the kid who helped other people with their homework, and occasionally growing up, I thought I wanted to be a teacher, but as I got older, I kind of pushed away from that. But then I started working at a preschool when I was a sophomore in high school. And at first, I really loved the kids, but it was really challenging. And there was a day I went home crying after a really hard day with some preschoolers. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm never doing this. Like, I'm not going to be a teacher. This is absolutely awful. This is not what I'm doing with my life. But then as I continued working there, it kind of just started to grow on me more and more. And then one day it was just like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I was meant to do. And there's nothing else I could picture myself doing.
No, absolutely. That, in my opinion, that happens with a lot of things for a lot of people in life. There's just that instance and that moment when you realize that's kind of what I'm supposed to do, or that's what I want to do anyways. Now we're going to be kind of hopping around. We've got still just a few questions left throughout the podcast here. Some pretty low stakes, and then we've got some hard hitters coming up kind of towards the end. And we're going to go ahead, we'll throw you a softball here. We're not going to make it too hard yet. But I would say, what is your biggest fear in this world? I mean, now there is all kinds of craziness in this world. We are still kind of in the midst of a pandemic. We are on kind of the recession of that, kind of on the come up here to get out of it. But what would you say is your biggest fear in this world today?
Wouldn't really call that a softball question. That's a pretty deep and loaded question. But I would say my biggest fear is probably just not being successful or not being able to make an impact in my life and kind of letting other people down.
I can relate to that. I am one of those people who have the fear of failure. And according to several studies out there, about 75% of people have the fear of failure. So I definitely can relate to that. It's slightly different, but totally understand. Now, you didn't think that was a softball, but let me tell you, these questions right here that we're going to use to close out the show, these are the hard-hitting questions. And if you're a listener out there, I challenge you to ask your significant other some of these questions. And for the audience out there, for context, we have recently moved in together. She had an apartment. My lease ended, and I have now moved in. So we've started living together. So to start this, what would you say is your favorite part about living with me?
My favorite part about living together would just be being able to come home and spend time together. Josh is a pretty busy guy who takes on a lot of things, so I didn't always get to see him much except for on the weekend. So it's just really refreshing and nice to be able to come home to him or him come home to work and just be able to hang out together and see each other more.
I can definitely attest to that as well. It is very nice to be able to know what you're going home to every day, whether it's been a good day, bad day, slow day, fast day at work. It doesn't matter. No matter what I have on my plate, I can definitely attest to it being so nice to know what I'm going home to at the end of every day, no matter how bad or good the day was. And has definitely lifted my spirits up through dark times that I had been facing. And I mean, plus an added bonus, you know, there is now an at-home chef, it feels like. I mean, the food that you cook is absolutely amazing. could you speak on how you became such a good cook?
It's all about just following directions, which Josh should be really good at because he thinks he needs to read the instructions to a T. But I guess sometimes part of being a good chef is just throwing things together and kind of doing your own thing when you need to.
And now, just so everybody knows for context, that was a little bit of a jab and a little bit of an inside joke here. Because when I'm building things, I built my desk here, I built my dresser, I've done a few things. I really want to make sure I'm doing it correctly. I want to make sure that I'm following the instructions and I don't have any extra parts or pieces left over. And we've run into a few instances where we have kind of decided that we just don't build things together. Because I really like to read the instructions very thoroughly, which typically people say men don't read instructions. I'm here to tell you I do. The problem is instructions nowadays don't have words, they only have pictures. And you can't really tell what's going on. Well, Miss Hannah over here likes to just kind of get an idea of how the directions are going and then just go on her own. So then that causes for some tension and some arguments. So that's what that little jab was about. But it is okay because we have come to realize that we just won't build things together because we just have two different philosophies and mentalities when it comes to that. Like I said, most of these questions have been coming from friends and family back home and in the area. We still got a few left. You know, you're probably enjoying the episode already. We've had some inside jokes. We've had some jabs. But it doesn't stop here. We're going to keep rolling right along. You know, we talked about your favorite part about kind of living together now that I have moved in. Now, I can almost guarantee that there are things since I have moved in that I do that drive you crazy. There are probably giant pet peeves, things that just make you mad or angry. What would you say those things are?
I would say that my biggest issue is Josh isn't always the best listener. And I don't know that it's necessarily the listening part, but maybe the remembering part about conversations. A lot of times he'll forget what we talked about or tell the same story or forget completely something I had told him to remember, or he'll ask a lot of questions later about something I've already told him. So that's something we're both kind of working on, is communication as always. A more lighthearted thing that kind of drives me crazy about Josh is his chewing, which isn't really his thing. It's more of a me thing. But him eating squishy foods absolutely drives me crazy. Any sort of pasta or anything squishy like that, I cannot be sitting that close to him without glaring at him while he's eating.
Now, see, most people, you know, there is a thing out there. I don't know the study or anything like that. But some people just get absolutely driven wild by when people are like chewing chips or popcorn or anything like that. No, that's not a problem. I chew crunchy foods normal, apparently. But apparently when it comes to, like she said, pasta or anything like that, oh my goodness, it is the end of the world. I get these glares and these looks like I need to stop what I'm doing. But let me tell you, like we mentioned earlier, the food she cooks is absolutely good. So I'm not going to stop eating it. And honestly, I don't know how to change the way I eat pasta. So it's probably going to keep happening, you know. But it is what it is, and that's fine. So, we've got a few questions left here. But before we get into that, see, I already kind of forgot. She mentioned me listening. See, I'm even here interviewing her. Didn't listen super great. That's something that I don't know if it runs in the family or if maybe I'm losing my hearing. Because sometimes I absolutely swear that she said something different or she didn't say anything at all. Maybe it's selective hearing. Maybe I hear what I want to hear. I don't know. If you're a guy out there and you have had arguments or tussles or whatever word you want to use about your listening, just try, like, show that you're trying. So I would say nobody ever wants to repeat themselves, but it has come a long way in our communication when I have no idea what she said to ask her to repeat it. It has definitely helped a lot, although sometimes I'm sure she gets sick of it. She at least knows that I am trying to listen and that I am paying attention. I just don't hear very well. So we've got about three or four questions left. You know, we've had some hard hitters, we've had some softballs, but I'd like to say we saved the best for last. And since these questions have come from friends and family, mostly my friends and family, I had somebody ask, what kind of is your opinion or what do you like about my friends and family?
I would say what I like best about Josh's friends and family is that they've just always been very inviting and inclusive to me. Ever since Josh and I have been together, it's always been, well, do you and Hannah want to come do this? Or what's Hannah doing that day? Do you guys want to come out and do that? So it's automatically that we just get considered a package deal now, and I feel like his friends and family really enjoy having me around, and it's not that I'm just, oh, Josh's girlfriend, so she has to be there. It makes me feel like they actually want me to be around and like I'm a part of their friend group and family as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those fans of the show who did not know, you know, last week I talked about remembering your roots, going back home. Well, a while back ago, last kind of Christmassy time, Hannah took the trip with me back to my roots, you know, and it was definitely an experience unlike any other. Could you kind of explain how that experience was for you? What were you expecting? And maybe how was it different from what you expected?
It was a little nerve-wracking going down to visit complete strangers and kind of being stuck visiting them and staying with them for a whole week. But as soon as I got there, it didn't really feel like I was stuck. I felt very included, and I felt very relaxed and way more comfortable than I thought I could be. And it didn't really feel like strangers after just a few minutes of meeting everybody. I could tell how much they really cared about Josh, and how, as long as I was treating him well and making him happy, that's all that mattered to them.
Absolutely. Another challenge for all the couples out there listening: if you haven't already taken your significant other to your roots, take them. Now, it doesn't have to be for a whole week, but just go. Let them see kind of why you are the way you are, where you were raised, how you were raised. I definitely encourage that. It will open up another layer and dimension of the relationship and allow you to better understand each other. We got three questions left. Three. That's it. You've been here listening to the first podcast of them all, and you've listened to the hard hitters, the softballs. It doesn't matter because there's just three left. I know, it's kind of sad, but it's okay because we're going to finish strong. The next question I have for you here, and these next two really kind of go together in my opinion, so I'll go ahead and give them both to you, and you can take it however you would like. These two questions are, what is your favorite memory that we have together? And a follow-up to that, and it could be the same, is what is the funniest memory we have together?
I would say that I don't have one specific memory that's my favorite. I feel like Josh and I can hang out and do whatever, and we're always just really enjoying each other's company and having a fun time. Whether we're going and doing something competitive like mini golf or bowling or things like that, where we're really going at each other trying to see who can win, or we're just hanging out and watching a show or movies together, it always just feels like I'm home and relaxed and comfortable where I am, and I can always have fun no matter what we're doing. As for most funny, this goes back to the little steak story that was on a podcast a while ago. Me and Josh decided to go out to Village Inn after he got off work one night. And it was pretty late by the time he got off work, and we got over there. It was probably 8, maybe a little after. And there was this guy with his little buddy, and he was trying to order his little steak. And it wasn't really so much of a funny story. It was more of a, you had to be there. And now that's so much of our inside joke. It's just something we always fall back on. No, do you want a little steak? Does he want a little steak? So it's just become a really fun inside joke for us.
For sure. If you have not checked out that podcast episode, definitely go back. Like she said, it was a few episodes ago. But just for a quick context, we're sitting there eating. And if you don't know, Village Inn is kind of like an IHOP. It's a breakfast place, and they have some other stuff. Not super fancy, but not like run down or anything. About closing time, super late at night, this old guy, he has this little kid with him, and he never calls him his name or anything, calls him a little buddy, and he tries to order him a steak. at like 9 o'clock at night. There is more to the story, but you'll have to go check it out in the other podcast episode. Wow. 20 minutes have come and gone, but we are not done yet. We have one final question. And the next question wraps it all up. And it is something that I encourage the listeners out there to ask their significant other. And it is, why do you love me? And why do you put up with my crazy ass?
I would say it all goes back to Josh just being a very authentic person. He is kind of a strange, weirdo person if you've ever met him, but he's not afraid to be himself and he doesn't embarrass easily. He's just always authentic and real in himself, and he doesn't really care who knows or what they think of it. He's always just himself and authentic in that way. So I always feel like when I'm around Josh, I can be myself as well and be my most authentic self and not have to worry about being judged by him. And he can always give me a laugh and a smile, and he's always there for me. He's just always kind of consistent in the ups and downs. Whether we're having a great day and we're laughing together, I know it's going to be good. Or if I've had a bad day or a bad week, I know that he's always going to be there to comfort me and help calm me down and talk me through it. He's one of the most caring people I've ever met and has just accepted me for who I am and is the most supportive person I've ever met.
Yeah, and to follow up with that, I'll speak on that a little as well. You know, I would say in today's society, you know, especially COVID didn't help with this, but just connection in general has been ever-changing with technology, online dating, and like we mentioned earlier, we could basically be a Tinder ad. I'm still waiting for that ad money to come in. I haven't seen it. Nobody has contacted me. But I would definitely be down for that. But honestly, the connection we have is really something that is so hard to find. But really, it's not. You just have to be open, honest, be yourself, be genuine to each other. And that's all that really matters. Because like she said, at the end of the day, whether it's been a good day or a bad day, I know the constant thing that is going to be there. I know who is going to be there for me. I know there will be a hug or a shoulder to cry on. It doesn't matter because I know it'll be there. And at the end of the day or the week or whatever, there will be plenty of laughs and there will be plenty of love. And like I said, it may seem hard to find, but the advice I have, be genuine, be honest, stay true to yourself, and it will come. That wraps up the interview, and that wraps up episode 54. But before I let the guest go, and I guess she's not really going to go far, maybe just to the living room or something, but if this is a fan favorite podcast episode, if the audience loves Hannah Roding, can they expect you to come back on the fairest podcast of them all?
We'll have to see how this one goes first, I guess.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Blow this episode up, so then she has to come back. And if you have connections with the people who run the Tinder universe, hey, let them know that we would be more than happy to take in some ad money and speak on our story. Because let me tell you, not that money is tight, but any money is good money. That wraps up episode 54. Thank you so much for listening, liking, sharing, subscribing, tweeting, whatever you do out there to support the podcast. Couldn't do it without you. As always, tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your grandma. If you got pets, you got to tell them too. I'm sure they would love listening to the fairest podcast of them all. Until next time, don't be afraid to ask your significant other some hard-hitting questions.